Big ol' Marcus.
Oh, dude.
Big ol' Marcus.
Right here. Welcome back to the Native Ways Podcast. I'm your host, Richard Ellis.
I'm your co-host, Christian Miller.
And today, we're going to kind of recap what's been going on. Dove season started pretty recently. We've got a guest today, Bo Whitson. We're going to kind of run through some things, talk about how the past couple weeks have gone and what we're about to lead up into.
Yeah, I just want to thank everybody for the following we've had so far. Once again, we really do appreciate it. We've reached about 400 members plus on Facebook. Instagram's still getting up there. It's taking a little bit of time, but you know, we're dealing with the algorithm there. But other than that, you know, we just appreciate everybody's support. If you're watching on YouTube, make sure you like and comment, subscribe, hit the notification bell if you please. But other than that, like I said, appreciate everybody for joining the community and being a part of everything that we're talking about.
Yeah, kind of to piggyback off of that, we've ran some polls, whether it be on Spotify or YouTube and on Facebook. Everybody's been kind of engaging in that. It's kind of cool to see what y'all are saying about our actual content we're putting out. And then the poll we ran on Facebook about the length of the podcasts themselves. The polls were kind of overwhelmingly towards the longer content, which makes me feel good that y'all like what we're doing. If y'all want to listen to us an hour plus,
right?
To me, that seems like pretty good feedback. So we're going to keep doing that, keep coming at y'all with that stuff. But yeah, again, thank y'all for the support. And we're going to let Bo kind of introduce himself a little bit and get into this one.
Yeah, what's going on? My name's Bo Whitson. I'm a 24 years old from the Central Texas area. Grew up around here. Kind of went to school in Harker Heights, Killeen, ended up going to school in Salado, and then ended up going to A&M for college. Graduated in 22, class of 22, whoop. but we been around here my whole life, done all sorts of stuff from ranching to hunting to building random stuff that I probably shouldn't and getting myself in trouble, but it's been a lot of fun. Grew up with Richard and Christian and did county livestock shows together, Killeen livestock show. So knew all of them growing up and glad to be here. Work in roofing now, actually work with both of them, but we tend to get our work done and then play a little hard as well.
Yeah. So Bo is somebody y'all will see probably he'll be pretty involved in what we're doing, I would think, just with with how we've kind of been the past year, especially once Bo graduated and we kind of all got back in the same area and realized we all kind of had the same hobbies. We kind of linked up, and then now that he works with us even, we'll talk a little more on some things that he'll be involved in for sure, and y'all be seeing a lot of Bo, I think. But so there's something really cool about Bo, too, that we're going to eventually have him and his dad on to talk about. Y'all run a little deal out there in Salado, right?
Yeah, so we started a while back. Wasn't anything too big. It's actually my dad's retirement plan. But we've got Wild Games Labradors and Outfitters. We did a lot of outfitting when I was in middle school. Had some leases down in El Campo, things like that. Christian went to a couple of them. Everybody had a lot of fun. We just ended up getting busy and didn't have a whole lot of time to do it. And so now we're pretty much, I think we've got seven dogs now that are all breeding females. I've got a Master National dog. My dad's got two. And then we've got a couple senior hunters and junior hunters. So he's getting it real big into that and training and wanting to do things. We're building the kennel. We'll have a spot for like puppy classes and trainings and everything along there. But we'll have some hunts that we go on and get some videos of the dogs running, get to see them. I've got some cool videos as far as shot cam and things like that, and we can get some retrieves and go from there. Might even strap a GoPro to a dog at one point, so
that'd be pretty sweet. Yeah, so if anybody wants to inquire about dogs, how do they reach out to you for that?
So you can either reach us on Facebook is really the best way to get to us. You'll be able to find my dad's information on there. He's the main point of contact. I've got my stuff on the back of my truck. Just so people driving can call me if they need to. But really, reach out to him. It's Wild Games Labradors on Facebook. We've got a page where you can see the puppies, kind of upcoming litters, everything as far as the hips, elbows, eyes, all the genetic testing, everything that's done on all of our dogs. We're not going to breed a dog to something that's going to end up having health issues later on. My dad is an animal science major at A&M, so he knows a lot of stuff that I don't even know and give you a lot of information on it, way more in detail than what I can.
Yeah, that's pretty awesome. We're definitely going to plan to have him and his dad on to talk just specifically about dogs at some point, but great dogs. As he said, some master national dogs, is that what he said?
Yeah, master national qualifiers.
So what is it, maybe, not to get like too in-depth on it, but what is that? Just so the people listening know. Also, too, how he shouted their page. They are part of our Facebook page, so you can go on there and find them and see their dogs. Bobby posts them quite often on there.
Oh, yeah.
But what is a master national qualifying dog?
So you've got a couple different levels of dogs. Starting out, you've got a junior dog, which is just basic. They're going to go out and they're going to retrieve a bird and bring it back to you. Seniors is where they can go out and they start getting into hand signals, controlling with a whistle, things along those lines. But they're not anything as far as like completely tuned up. When you get into the masters, you have to have, I believe it's 7 master passes. Don't quote me on that because I can't remember for sure. But you have to have 7 completed master passes to qualify for Master Nationals, and it has to be from August to August. And then that Master Nationals can be in New York State. It can be in Oregon. I think last year it was up there. I think this year might be in Washington, something like that. So they've got quite a few all over the place, and it's the big one every year that it's the top dog in the country that comes out with it.
Gotcha.
So you've got your master national qualifier is they're able to go up and run with the top ones.
Yeah, so they're one of the top dogs in the country for
yep.
sure.
Oh yeah.
That's saying a lot.
Yeah, for sure.
Pretty cool coming from right here local too. So y'all definitely be on the lookout for that. And like I said, upcoming content with them too. We'll definitely, you know, kind of showcase what they have to offer.
Yeah.
I think that's going to be some really cool stuff going forward. But so that's kind of an intro on Bo. We're going to get into the actual topic of discussion today, and that is dove season. So we kicked it off. It's been a week now, right?
Yeah.
Yep.
Labor Day marks a week. So we had, between the three of us, we've got a lot of property. Christian's got a place that he's been working. I've got a place. I've got access to a place, and then Bo has access to a few places, and then some stuff that we kind of all have access to together. So we're going to kind of tell y'all the backstory as to leading up to the season, what we did in preparation, then go through what's actually happened this week and kind of what we're looking at leading forward. So to start with, we'll let Christian kind of talk on what we've been doing.
Yeah, so kind of was thinking about dove season early this year. Yeah. I have a field that is in the back of my property that I've been having plans to till and actually plant some stuff and hope that it'll grow. But last year I tried to put a deer food plot. We were in a drought last year, so it didn't really work, unfortunately. I think it got about 6 inches tall, and then it was pretty much done for. The deer did eat the sprouts, but, you know, it doesn't matter. It didn't have no seeds on or anything, so that was just kind of a wash. So this year I was like, well, you know, it's a little bit early. I ain't got much to do at the time. So I was like, yeah, I'm going to go ahead and plant a sunflower field. And everybody had hyped it up. You're like, you know, sunflowers is the best thing for dove. You know, that's what you hear from anybody. If you think about dove hunting and hunting over a crop, it's sunflowers. So I was like, I'm going to try it. So I went out, tested the pH level of the soil, made sure that I had all the equipment and everything on deck ready for it. So it was early April is when I originally was going to break ground on it. So I get my tractor, I start ripping it up with the box blade. Traditionally, you know, people have their own plows and whatnot, but I'm working with what I got at this point. It's kind of like a budget sunflower field in a shoebox.
Yeah.
So I go ahead and rip up the top soil and I test it, and the pH level is right about 7.5, which is kind of where you want it. It seems, at least for the black oil sunflowers, a lot of people run those clear field, which are the ones with the big heads on them. You know, they're like dang near seven foot tall. They got 12-inch wide heads on them. Yeah, got like 2 pounds of seed on each head. Well, unfortunately, I didn't have really access to that, and the soil level and all that wasn't going to really be compatible. I was like, well, I'm going to do the black oil sunflowers. It's more of a natural kind of sunflower for the dove anyway. They're kind of more used to it. So either way, I get it all tilled up. I run it through it with the box blade a few times, get it ripped up, get it nice and fresh, let it sit. Well, before that, I hit it with some herbicide, you know, or some Roundup to kill all the weeds and everything. Kind of do like a burn on it. And that's when I, a couple weeks later, is when I broke ground on it and started ripping it up. So we got that done. And right about that time, I sprayed some pre-emergent herbicide on it just so it wouldn't get as much weeds and stuff. Unfortunately, that didn't work to my advantage.
It got the water this year didn't help you at all.
I mean, the second I sprayed it on the ground after I threw the seeds out. And I'm not even kidding, probably the next day, I was like expecting rain. That's why I threw the seeds to begin with.
Oh, yeah.
So I'm expecting rain, but I wasn't expecting a typhoon.
So I washed half the seeds down the field.
Yeah, I literally sprayed everything out, and I had a whole trail that was started in where I had everything tilled up where all the water was running off. Yeah. It's like a pond that was starting out there. So that didn't work, but, you know, they sprouted. It got good. They started getting a little bit bigger, and then the deer started getting in there, and they were just freaking tearing it up, dude. I couldn't keep them out of there. They wanted every bit of those fresh sprouts, which, you know, is understandable. I hunt deer out there too, so I wasn't mad about it, but I was trying to kill dove. So I'm like, y'all going to have to wait on this.
Yeah.
So I went and bought an electric fence and I set it up out there. And that's kind of when I started keeping the deer out a little bit more. There would be occasionally a few that would jump because I didn't have it tall enough. But the few that got the point.
Yeah, I went from no deer food plot to a dove plot feeding deer.
Yeah. It looks like you probably should have planted sunflowers the year before. You might have had a little better.
Hey, and still, the deer and the turkeys are still eating it up right now.
Yeah, they're still in there. Yeah, so if y'all aren't from Central Texas, we've got an absolute ridiculous amount of rain this year. We went from the lakes being, what, like...
Like 30 foot low almost.
Yeah, way low.
They were 30 foot low. I was actually in Dallas and working nights, and I would get up in the later in the afternoon and check the updates, and at one point, I think it was in 3 days, it went up 30 feet just from how much water we had gotten, and it got over 100% level in 3 days.
Yeah, I think Belton got up over like 16 foot over full.
Oh, yeah.
Which I know they dropped their percentage down. I think technically, like on old terms, it would have only been like 3 foot over full, but Stillhouse was like 10 foot over full at one time.
Yeah. They were letting water out up until like July.
Yeah. Went from absolutely the worst drought I've ever seen affect the lakes to more water than I've ever seen in the lakes.
Yeah, and all of those lakes are flood control lakes too. So whenever they get up above, doesn't matter what they do, it's not like they're going to keep it at 103%. They're going to get it down to 100, and then they're going to cut it back and match the flow. They're not going to keep it high enough up. So those gates were open for a long time. We got a bunch of stuff out west that fed those lakes heavy.
Yeah. Yeah, so Christian's plan to plant kind of... It worked, but it probably wasn't ideal, to say the least. But talking about... So, for people listening too, there's a little more into just planting crop than just go out there, throw some seed on the ground. So you're talking the pH level of your soil. You're talking the pre-emergent herbicides.
Yeah, the loam, kind of what the soil consistency is. You know, you have the sandy loam and all the other different soil types. And then on top of that, you got to get your pH level right. Well, this is if you want to do it right.
Yeah, correct.
You can grow a seed in anything, but it's going to be just how much seed that seed produces or how healthy it's going to be. So, I mean, I'm no scientist, but I did a little bit of research to try to get it done. You got the pH level that you need to check. You got your soil type. You got your pre-emergent. You got a post-emergent. And then if you want fertilizer and lime to, you know, kind of change that pH level, then you have that too.
Okay.
So all of that's mixed into the little, I guess, recipe of making a good healthy crop.
Yeah.
Which I didn't have everything lined up the way I wanted, unfortunately. We still have seeds out there in the field, so I can't complain, you know. We had a good shoot out there, and we'll talk more about that, you know, throughout this podcast, but you know, it was worth it in my opinion.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah, and so like I said, Christian had his place. The place that I've got access to in Pidcoke, my dad and the guy that owns it had talked. I mean, this is last winter during duck season still. They're like, we're going to plant that place this year. We're going to plant it. So we'd picked out an area to plant. Last year we hunted it, and it's basically a flyway right down this creek, essentially. But white wings just fly it like crazy. So they wanted to plant food right off the side of the water source and the flyway, like perfect spot. Well, we talked about planting it, and they just wanted to do doveweed or croton, however you say it, because it comes back naturally on its own, and it naturally occurs through a lot of Texas. Just for some reason, this little area doesn't have any. So go out there, we clear the pasture, till it up, but we couldn't get a hold of any seed. So their thought was, well, it's produced in the past, so maybe just tilling it and giving it access to sun and water, getting all the cover crops out of the way,
right,
would have it come back. And it did some, didn't do too great in other spots. But now, after this year and seeing how it performed, we're definitely going to somehow find that seed and get it out there and get it planted for this
coming
season.
I mean, it's native. You could probably go pull doveweed out of somebody's yard and they might be happy
and
about it.
He's got it. He's got it all across the place, but just for some reason, this little bottom doesn't grow it at all. I don't know why. I don't know if it's because the mesquites are so thick down there or the broom weed. Something is keeping it from growing, and it just, I don't know. But the plan is this year is to plant it or Milo. I'm not exactly sure. We're going to plant something, though. But same deal as Christian's, you know, not ideal situation as far as the crop growth, but we're still killing birds on it. I mean, extremely well, I would say. And then,
right.
I don't know about you, Bo, what did y'all have leading up to this year?
So honestly, leading up to this year, we didn't really do anything. We talked about putting sunflower seed down on the bottom, but with how wet it was, the place that we hunt, it's an old dirt pit down at Maxdale. So they basically pulled everything out of it, and everything that's in the bottom is just silt. Mm-hmm. So the minute it gets wet, you're going to sink something.
Yeah.
So we ended up going out there, getting it, basically just cutting the grass down and the weeds that were growing up. And there's a lot of gravel around there. So in the mornings when they're flying, they're coming in, they're picking up some gravel, and then they're heading out.
Yeah.
And so we just caught them in there. We've got three sets of power lines, actually, that kind of circle around that whole place.
Yeah.
So they fly up and down it the whole time. I think the spot that we were on, with the amount of guys we had, within the first 2 days, they killed 300 something birds out there. And that wasn't the same guys just going out there every day. It was, I mean, I can't even tell you the number of guys that were on our spot, the spot behind it. They limited out within an hour the first day. And so, I mean, it was pretty crazy, but we've backed off of it real heavy just because we hunted it so hard that first day. We didn't want to overhunt it. So,
and it's kind of funny you said that. A lot of people don't know that those doves eat gravel like that.
Oh yeah. And I mean, majority of the birds that came in, there's crop all around us. So they were going and picking up seeds and stuff out of the neighboring fields. And you could see them pick up out of there in the evenings at 60, 70 at a time. But when they're picking up, I mean, they're coming over, they're grabbing just a little bit, and they're headed out. Even during the middle of the day, most of the time you don't get a whole lot of dove unless you're in the middle of it right in the morning or in the late in the evening. But they come through there the whole time. My cousin was out there at 2 o'clock in the afternoon and limited out in an hour. Like, it's nuts.
That's crazy. So similar situation for Christian and I's places, but Bo's totally different. And that's the thing. There's different ways to hunt birds that a lot of people don't think of, between food, water, and gravel. Is essential for dove, especially. That's how they digest their food.
Yeah.
So they're going to find gravel. So if you got a gravel pit, it's probably good, especially by water and by food. So three sources to think about there. And that's cool to see that we had, you know, a few different experiences with that. So kind of gives you all an idea of what we were looking at. And then also, too, the release of the population's numbers this year, mm-hmm. the dove populations were up, it was like 20%.
Yeah, they were up crazy.
Yeah, so, and leading up to this, the like 2 weeks before season, we weren't really seeing a ton of birds. Like, Christian was nervous. Like, Christian was over here sweating.
Oh, yeah, I mean, if you spent 3-4 days working on a field, and just specifically for this day,
yeah,
pretty much, you know, you get past opening weekend, and it's kind of, it trickles off. The birds get shot at so many times. It's almost like late duck season. You know, they're just kind of finicky and kind of,
oh yeah,
scattered around. So
the birds that hang around are smart.
Opening weekend was the weekend that we were going to make something happen if we were. And we were sitting there a week before, 2 weeks, like a week and a half before, and I'm like, dude, I don't know if we're going to shoot a bird. I mean, I've seen some in the field, but it wasn't the numbers that I was wanting or shooting for. So I was getting nervous. And then, you know, we had that front that pushed in, which I thought that they were going to be in front of it, but it turned out, I guess they were behind it.
Yeah.
I mean, we had just had another one that just came through that kind of, you know, did something too. But, you know, we had, and also, you know, working up to opening day, opening weekend, the weather was not looking good either.
No.
And anytime that we want to plan something, that we want to hunt, we want to fish, and we are, like, excited, it's the only time that it wants to rain.
Yeah. Yeah. Digging, fishing, hunting, it doesn't matter. If we got a trip planned, it's going to rain. Probably next Thursday when we're planning to go up north, it's going to rain.
Hey, that's why we all have duck hunting gear, though, because yeah. It doesn't matter what you're in. You got something to keep you dry.
Yeah. Perfect. Rain is what you need for that. But, yeah, it was not a good outlook. And this year, especially, kind of focusing on all these different aspects of hunting from every season, Christian putting in all this work, us taking the time to scout and look for birds and actually put effort into dove hunting for once, which is not normal. Normally
you get up an hour before opening day and then you just go pick out your normal spot you're sitting in your field every single year.
And just bust a bird.
It's not common for people to put in a bunch of effort, because dove hunting, I would say, is kind of that more non-hunter, I guess you could say. You get a lot of people that don't normally take hunting with a passion that come out there and shoot for once.
Yeah, I
think, which is always cool. You know, you can get people that don't typically like hunting, and you can get them into hunting with dove hunting.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, and I think dove hunting is one of those things where everybody just tends to correlate it to, hey, I'm going to go out and I'm going to drink beers and shoot at something that flies at 60 miles an hour past my face.
Yeah, see what happens.
And when you actually get into hunting, it's, I mean, when you have dove land in your face like ducks working into a spread, mm-hmm. it's nuts. It's really, really hard to hit a dove that's right in your face like that, because you're not used to it. You're used to them flying away from you or across. And, like, I mean, I'm not a great shot. Don't get me wrong. Richard might be a little worse. But
this year.
Yeah. But it's cool to see them work into your spread and actually want to be there instead of just, hey, I'm going to fly over a field.
Yeah. And that was another thing, too, that I was noticing this year. Opening day and the day after tends to always be good with mojos. And kind of after that, they kind of pick up on the flicker of the wings, and they kind of pick up on that object and know to stay kind of away. So we were hunting this past week, which, you know, that's a week from opening day. And I'm sitting out there. You can ask Richard. He saw it firsthand. So we were set the mojo right in front of Richard, and I'm sitting kind of catty corner to his right. And I have the flickers, which not a lot of people are running the flickers for some reason. But I have the flickers, and then I just set up the normal ones that you pin up on the fence. I set them down on the ground like they're feeding.
Oh, yeah.
So I just run that setup, and they were tailing straight away from that mojo and flying straight to me every single time. Yeah. I mean, I think I almost limited out, and I thought I put Richard in the best spot. And I guess I didn't. That mojo definitely worked in my favor because they were tailing away from that once they saw it.
I sat right where the birds always cross into the sunflower field,
mm-hmm.
and it was like they would hit the flyway coming right at me, and they would get right over the road, basically see that mojo, and they
which
would
is
turn,
like 70-80 yards from you. I mean, at the corner of it,
and then they'd turn directly west and go just skirt just around it, and then cut right across Christian, I mean right in his face. Which
I loved it.
Yeah, he was tearing them up.
Yeah, but at least you know that you can hit birds, and Richard might not. So it was probably better they were going to you too.
My dove hunting has not been too great this year. I've been slacking, but that's all right. We'll make up for it when the ducks get here.
Yeah, a bigger target might help.
Yeah, a little bigger, bird. I don't know what's up this year. Normally, I shoot doves pretty good. Like last year, I kept up with Christian. Christian's a good shot. This year, something's going on. I don't know. I can't hit a bird to save my life. But opening day, I did pretty good. But
it's when you break out the steel shot and the duck choke.
Yep.
Yeah, I got to change something. I don't know, but we're kind of past. Not that we're past doves, but we're getting into duck season, which we're going to talk about in a little bit.
Oh yeah.
But yeah, so kind of to wrap all that up, you know, putting in the effort to actually take the time to target dove, like Christian said, not like many people do. Most people, it's just, hey, it's the week before Labor Day. Labor Day's generally the sign dove season's here. Let's go out, shoot some stuff, drink beer, like Bo said, and have a good time. And that's essentially what you do, but there is a little bit of work put into it to be successful at it. Like, if you really want to have a successful hunt, it makes a difference to put the effort in. Just like anything, you put effort in, you're going to be successful.
Right.
Yep.
So that being said, y'all seen the backstory to the lead up to the hunting. So Labor Day gets here, it's opening day.
Mm-hmm.
Everybody's pretty pumped up and ready to hunt. Aside from the weather didn't look good, like we already talked about. There's rain in the forecast for days, right?
Oh, yeah. And, like, I think it rained. I woke up that morning, walked out of the house, and it was pouring rain. And I was like, well, let me just sit here for a minute and see what's going on. And it ended up passing over us, but I had to drive through the rain to get to the spot. Mm-hmm. And, I mean, usually you can hunt 30 minutes before sunrise, mm-hmm. and then you have to be done at sunset.
Yep. Right.
And so that 30 minutes before was just complete rain. I was worried about being able to get out of that gravel pit.
Mm.
But once it dried up, It took probably 30-40 minutes for those birds to kick up, but when they did, they were ready to go.
Yeah.
Right.
How about you on opening morning? Because we all hunted,
different
places opening morning. And even opening day, Christian and I ended up getting together that evening. Bo was doing something, but we ended up going, I think the next day out, we all went together somewhere else. But opening morning, how'd it go for you?
Yeah, so we went out there, and I didn't have very high hopes for the morning hunt. Out there, for some reason, they don't fly good in the morning or as good as they do in the afternoon. Kind of more of an afternoon spot where I'm at, so I didn't really have as high hopes going into it, but I still knew it was going to be fun. You know, we're going to be out hunting either way. If I didn't shoot a bird, it'd still be a good time. Yeah, we're sitting out there. I think that I ended up with that morning maybe 6 or 7, you know, a handful. Everybody else got maybe a couple and whatnot, but overall, they were flying. I mean, they were flying good. The ones that were flying right into us and weren't really missing shots either. So that always helps. And that just, you know, puts you on the experience that there wasn't that many that morning. We just were taking our shots and using them wisely.
Yeah.
Which makes a big difference, too, because, you know, you can go out to a spot and limit out, but you're like, how many shells did you shoot? It's kind of the thing how you know if the birds are really flying or not.
Maybe a case.
You can go out there and just sling some lead, like, maybe I did this year on one hunt specifically.
Oh, yeah. We got to talk about that.
We'll get there. But so Christian had a decent morning. Bo had a decent morning. And then us over at the place in Pidcoke, we hunted the field that they'd tilled up to start with. And we got down there and the birds weren't flying there at all. So they're like, hey, you know, I've been seeing a bunch of birds up by the barn, kind of by this highline pole next to a dozer. Let's go sit there. The second we're coming up the hill, there's birds all over the highline. So we're like, yeah, it's going to be good. Pull up there, we sit down, we start shooting birds, and we killed 37 between, I think, 4 of us. We didn't all limit out, but we shot pretty good, shot a bunch of birds.
Oh, yeah.
And we probably could have kept hunting and killed limits, like, if we'd kept hunting, but we all had places to be, so we stopped and just stopped at 37. That was plenty for that morning. Then the evening hunt, I got with Christian,
mm-hmm.
and we ended up killing, what, 30? We killed over 40 that evening.
It was like 41 or 2, something close to like that. But yeah, we had a spread of people for sure.
Yeah, a bunch of people. The birds were flying, but they were kind of flying, I don't know, they weren't flying ideal for where we'd set, I wouldn't say.
Yeah, I mean, they kind of flew where I thought they would fly, because mm-hmm. they have a flyway on the edges of that field. And I just don't think the birds really found the seed.
Yeah.
In all honesty. Because there was plenty of seed out there. I mean, if the dove knew they were there, they would have been in there feeding. I would scare up an occasional, like, 15 to 20 that were feeding in there, but they were kind of more, I would say, of a local bird.
Yeah.
A lot of those ones passing by, flying through, they kind of just didn't pick up on where the seed was, and
And a lot of those birds were here the second day. Because that first day was pretty slow, but that second day is when all the rain had kind of passed us. That cold front had pushed in, cool front, not cold front. Right. But they had come in, and I think that probably helped y'all out a lot too.
For sure.
Yeah, there was a lot of birds that definitely pushed in after opening day. It seemed like, I mean, driving into work on Tuesday, I was seeing big groups of white wings just everywhere, and we weren't seeing that on opening day for sure. I mean, there was, like you said, kind of the local birds and maybe some early flyers that were getting here. But it seems like you said earlier, they were behind that storm. So opening day was decent for us, I would say, between everybody. But later in the week, we pulled some strings. There's this place, and I told Christian, I don't know, probably like midsummer, I was like, man, if we could hunt that place, because I've hunted the property across the highway from it since I was a kid, and we've always sat there and killed a lot of birds at this place, but you can sit there, look across the highway, and just see birds just constantly flooding over it.
Yeah, for sure. I was like,
if we can get access to that, well, Christian and Bo know the same guy that owns it.
Yeah, and I'm actually related to him, so it kind of helps to call him and be like, hey, do you mind if we hunt your place? And it's 14 acres.
Yeah.
And so, backstory, it's 14 acres, but it is in the city limits.
Okay.
And there is a exclusion that gives you the right to be able to hunt on that property, as long as you're obviously not shooting over fences
or property lines
and shooting over roads or anything along those lines. As long as you're not endangering somebody with that shot, then you can hunt it no matter what.
Yeah.
So,
yeah. And a little learning point for y'all that aren't avid hunters, or, I mean, even if you are an avid hunter, when you go into a property that you've never hunted before, look at it on satellite imagery. Find all the structures nearby, whether it be railroads, roads, homes, barns, whatever. Just so you know, hey, probably don't shoot this way. Or
yeah.
Like, take all that into consideration, because if you do run into somebody, it helps to say, hey, you know, I know your house is over here. Or, hey, I know this road's over here. I'm not shooting that way. Do your due diligence to make the effort. To hunt correctly. You don't want to be shooting at people's houses.
Yeah, right. And most cities are all the same, too. So, like, if you go in, a lot of cities say you have to be at least 150 feet from the nearest structure that's on that property. Whether that's 150 feet off the fence, if their structure is right against the fence, or it's 150 feet down the fence line, just make sure you know what those are. If you're hunting in town, city regulations, obviously, you have to know what those are. Most of the time, it's over 10 acres, you can shoot shotguns. Over, I want to say it's 50 acres, you can shoot rifles, something along those lines. I don't like shooting rifles in town, so I usually tend to stay away from that. Shotguns is one thing, but I'd rather not have a ricochet go somewhere that I don't want it to go. But shooting shotguns in town, it's usually 10 acres or more. About 150 feet away from the nearest structure.
Yeah.
And just make sure that, even if you can, go knock on the neighbor's door and say, hey, look, we have access to this place. This is what's going on. Here's the laws that say it's legal. Some people might be okay with that. Some people might not.
Sometimes good, sometimes maybe not.
But just make sure that you go out and actually ask questions. If you have to call the police department and figure out and let them know that you're going to be out there and figure out the regulations with them, just put that effort in, and then you'll have a little bit better success, and they'll be able to not run you off the place.
Yeah. And one other thing too. So most people, if you're thinking about hunting regulations, you're going to call the game warden. When it comes to city limits, it's different. The city holds the ordinance over the property within the city limits. So the game warden is going to tell you what the state defines. The city is going to tell you something different. The county will even tell you something different. So ultimately, call the city that you're hunting in. And this will all make circle here in a minute. But that being said, we hunt in the cities a lot. We have a lot of property that are in city that are, you know, 75, 100 acres that we hunt contests on, that we dove hunt a lot. I mean, the place across the road from this property is 100 and something acres, and I've hunted it since I was a kid. So it all kind of weighs in. And a little back story on this property itself, It is literally the extreme edge of the city limits. I mean,
yes,
the creek line is basically the city limit line. It's got a railroad track to the north of it that's the city limit line.
Yep.
Like, if we had access just right across the creek or right across the railroad, wouldn't even have to have any kind of issue. But y'all will see the issue here in a little bit. let's talk about the hunt itself, though. So, like we said, we knew that this spot was chock full of birds. I mean, natural flyway for them. They're always through there. There's dove weed. They've been pushing brush on the place.
Mm-hmm.
It's got water. I mean, it's got everything you could want. It's next to a highway, next to a railroad. I mean, perfect flyways for them. Birds were going to be there. So we'd got permission. Bo got permission. What, it was like that morning?
Yeah, so I looked it up. I actually drove past it, and I called. They sold off like an acre of it, and they're building a batting facility because some good friends of ours, they've got boys that are in travel ball. So they're opening up a batting baseball facility there. And so I called them and was like, hey, do y'all mind if we hunt this place? And they're like, well, we've only got an acre, but your cousin's got the other part. And I was like, oh, I didn't even know he owned that, because he owns a lot of different properties all across Central Texas. Right. He does development and home building and things like that. And so I just called him up and was like, hey, do you mind if we hunt? He said, go right ahead. So I texted Christian and Richard and was like, hey, we've got access to this place. When do y'all want to go? I didn't have a shotgun. I didn't have anything with me. And Richard was like, hey, so are we going to hunt this place tonight? And I was like, well, maybe not, because I don't have my stuff. He's like, oh, it's okay. Go grab your shotgun. We got to go. And I was like, all right, that sounds good. So we went right after work. We got out there probably, 5:15 or so, because we had to fight the traffic at that stoplight.
Yeah.
Or stop sign. And we pulled in, and I mean, it's just, there's no trees, there's no nothing. They just bulldoze the whole place and are clearing it to end up turning into something at some point. But it's just a big open black dirt
bottom
field, basically.
Mm-hmm.
So
the only kind of real structure that's out there to hide behind, unless you sit the tree line on the creek, is there's some equipment that they've been dozing with and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
So we sit around the equipment, sit around our pickups. And it's kind of perfect setup for shooting the birds right there, because they're all flying east to west, and they're coming over the tree line that's to our back.
Right.
Kind of right where we had parked. I don't know. We're pretty good ways off the road.
Oh, yeah. We're over 120 yards off the road, because I went and measured all of this, and you'll figure out why here in a little bit. But I measured all of it, and we were 120 yards off the road. We were 100 yards from the nearest structure on the neighboring property.
Mm-hmm.
We had trees between us. We were shooting the opposite way. I mean, we pretty much had everything accounted for
that you could possibly think.
I mean, and none of us were shooting anything crazy as far as load. It wasn't like we were shooting 5, 6, seven or 5, 4, 5, 3, 2, whatever you want for duck load. We're shooting 8-shot dove load that is low brass, so we're not shooting anything crazy.
Yeah,
might have had a duck choke in, but that's still not gonna run that far.
Right.
But yeah, we get there and Christian was like first one out of his pickup, starts throwing down flickers, and I ran Stuck a Mojo out, and I think Christian was literally setting flickers. I just set the mojo, turned around, walked back. And I don't know if it was Bo or Danny had already killed like 2 birds. There was 2 mourning dove that had come in, right?
Yeah, they came in and they dropped in right over top of the 2 mojos that I had set up.
Yeah, we were walking away from them and literally even turned our backs to them, and they're trying to land on them already.
Yeah.
And so we just turned around, dropped both of those and brought them back to the truck and got up there, and it was like, all right, this is going to be a good time.
Yeah. Yeah, immediately. I mean, birds are already in our face. Yeah. While we're setting decoys, like, we're 10 feet. Well, Christian and I are about 10 feet from our decoys. Bo's back at the truck, but nowhere near us. Already killing birds.
Yeah.
They start shooting, and then it was like, I don't know. I don't know if we opened up floodgates or what, but white wings just started pouring in over top of us.
Yeah. You couldn't even, we couldn't really even sit down. No. I don't even think I sat down that whole hunt.
No.
Yeah. I mean, about the only time I sat down was when I got back to the truck and I was either loading a shotgun or pulling something out of the truck.
Yeah.
Just getting everything ready. But most of the time I was turning around staring up at the sky because they were all flying over our backs and I didn't want to get surprised when they came over us and buzzed us.
Yeah. They were shooting a lot better than me too. I don't know. I don't know if it was my choke or what. These birds are flying pretty high. I was sitting.
I'm just glad that I went to Walmart and I picked up some ammo because originally Richard said, "Hey man, I got more than enough ammo for you and Danny." Cause I had run out. We had a skeet shoot the weekend before, and then it was dove season. So I used a couple boxes the day before, and it was like, "Hey man, you can use my stuff." And he didn't have enough left over. Yeah. He ended up having to go back to the academy and get some more shells.
I guess 8 boxes wasn't enough.
Yeah.
I did not shoot that many. I went and got different shells the next day because I was like, I'm not a big fan of these shells, thinking that might have been the problem. But
yeah, that's not it.
It's probably not. I was shooting bad, but the birds were really high where I was sitting.
Yeah,
they were cutting the corners kind of like Christians, and I sat in the middle on the highest part of their flyway.
Yeah,
but
yeah.
I did kill a couple.
Yeah,
shot
he
a lot,
did.
But I did kill a couple.
Like, he
right,
did.
Like right when you got, right when we got there, I sat where Richard was sitting, and I set my stuff up, and I looked up, and I seen like 4 or 5 birds fly by, and right where they flew by, I went and sat right where they were, and sure enough, that's kind of where they were flying the rest of the day.
Yep.
Yeah, they were both shooting duck chokes too, and I just had in a modified, so they're able to touch birds a little different than I could.
Yeah. Well, granted, I grew up with a pump shotgun that had a full choke rusted to the inside from duck hunting with it. So I would use that as my dove gun, duck gun, goose gun, whatever you could think of. And that was when I shot way more than what I do now.
Yeah.
So.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, I mean, we set it up and birds were coming in so fast. Like Christian shot one bird while he's walking to go get that bird, turns around, shoots another bird. While picking up those two, he shot, what, 2 or 3 more?
Yeah, dude, I had like 4 birds on the ground. I was still looking for the other one.
Yeah.
And it was ridiculous.
Yeah, if we could have hit every bird that was flying, we would have all probably limited out in 30 minutes.
Yeah, we would have been in Argentina.
Yeah.
Yeah, and it would have been real nice to have a dog there, but I didn't want to bring a nasty dog that had been duck or dove hunting 2 days prior to the office and piss off everybody at the office. So.
Yeah. Yeah, it would have been pretty handy because, like we said, they were clearing a big chunk of it, but down toward the creek, they were kind of piling up everything that they've been pushing everything into a pile, and there was a lot of dove weed that was actually growing down there kind of under the oak trees and stuff, and it seemed like every bird we shot fell that area, and the dove weed was just so thick. We were literally down there pulling dove weed out of the ground trying to find birds.
Yeah, you can be sitting in the middle of a sand pit and a dove's still going to fall in a bush somewhere.
Yeah, it's crazy. They will. It's like the hardest thing to find when you shoot it. I don't know what it is.
Yeah, blend in real well. Yeah. I mean, what was it? There were 2 of them that I had shot. I shot one and ended up walking out to go get it, shot another one. And by the time I had turned around, I knew the general area of where they were, but I could not find them to save my life.
Yeah.
They blend in so well on that black dirt and all of that dove weed. You can't hardly find them.
Yeah. And that's kind of the worst thing with doves. Like you can watch them fall and walk straight to where you watched them fall and they're not there. I don't know what it is.
They don't swim away. They don't it's not like a duck where it swims and grabs onto something on the bottom, but I mean, you just can't see them.
Yeah. Yeah. A dog would be very helpful when it comes to dove hunting.
So I guess Bo had to leave and you had to go to church, right?
Yeah. My fiance and I left to go to church. I had packed up all of my stuff and gotten out of there. And then I think I had just gotten to the church building. It was like 7:30. So probably 20 minutes before y'all had to be packed up.
Yeah.
And I get a text that said, "Hey, so the cops showed up."
Yeah. I think I texted him like something like that was short lived or something.
Yeah. No, we can't go back out there again.
Yeah, something like that.
Mm-hmm.
Well, basically what had happened is early in the hunt, the guy that owns the property to the east come up to the fence line, and he called us over to talk to him. So we walk up, and Christian's first start talking to him. Yeah. And I think at first he thought we were just a bunch of schmucks that were out there shooting and just being idiots. Well, we immediately, you know, told him, kind of like we told y'all earlier, like, we had already planned this. We'd already looked at everything. We knew where all the structures were, all that stuff. So once we told him that, it seemed like he'd calmed down.
Yeah, I mean, we're all responsible hunters. We've been hunting our whole life. And nobody wants to piss anybody off. Nobody wants to break any rules or do anything illegal. So, especially where we were sitting. I mean, you know, it's plenty acreage, but that guy had never heard gunshots like that before.
Yeah, probably.
Just because nobody hunted it prior. It's not because it was, you know,
I think
within the city limits. It was just that he had never heard anybody hunt there because it's technically really not a good place to hunt unless you're hunting dove. That's about it.
I think prior to the guy that owns it now, I think he actually owned that property.
Yeah, he had that property and sold it to my cousin.
Yeah.
And ended up, they didn't need it. They wanted to sell it and use that money for something else. So they got rid of that land and have their homestead. But, I mean, it was his land. Nobody else went out there to hunt it. He sold it for development-wise, so didn't think anybody was going to come out there and hunt it.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, so to hear us shooting might have been a little surprise. But, like I said, we talked to him, and his tone changed rather quickly from the start of the conversation to how the conversation ended. It seemed like once we spat out the information to him, he realized, okay, these guys are legit and doing it the correct way. But don't know if he was still totally pleased with us hunting there, because it was probably 30 minutes later Bo leaves, and no later than maybe 15, 20 minutes after Bo leaves, birds are just starting to really fly again. They kind of hit like a lull spot.
Yeah, it was like maybe 5 minutes.
Yeah. A lull for 5 minutes. A 5 minute lull.
We're like, man, these birds are not flying at all anymore.
And yeah, then, what the
like
heck?
5 minutes later.
And anyway, I'm sitting there and I'd walk to my truck to get a water, I think. I set my gun on the tailgate and I go to get in the ice chest. And when I did, I like looked over my shoulder and I see this cop pulling up onto the halfway gravel road to get into the place.
Yeah, little entrance to knock off all the dirt.
And I seen him, he just kind of stopped and I was like, oh crap. So I looked over at Christian and I whistled and I was like, hey, it's like, put your gun down. And I go to unload mine and this guy starts pulling out in the field and he hits us on the PA system. Put the weapons down. That's why I approach. Put them down. And I was like, oh God. So, you know, I've never actually had a cop approach me when I have a gun. So I don't know how this is going to go. The only people I've ever run into with guns is game wardens.
Yeah.
And normally a game warden's pretty chill. I mean, everybody they deal with has a gun. They know it.
Yeah. And you hand them your license. And if you have most the two times that I've run into them out in the field and I've been hunting, I mean, you hand them your license, they're checking everything, and they're like, hey, a bird's flying over, go ahead and shoot it. And I'm like, all right, cool, because I know I have all my stuff.
Yeah,
I've handed it to him. He's just double-checking it. But, I mean, they can open it up and see. So it's not like anybody's hiding or anything like that. They don't want to ruin your hunt. They just want to make sure you're legal.
Yeah. Yeah, cops are a little different because, you know,
it's out of their realm. They're not not used to walking up on somebody with a gun hunting.
Yeah.
That's not technically their job.
Every time they meet somebody with a gun, they're probably going to get shot at or have a very high likelihood of it.
Yeah,
so
it's not the best situation.
I mean, I'm surprised SWAT didn't pull up on us.
I'm very surprised that he approached us without anyone there with him.
Oh, yeah.
Which he pulled out in the field, and like I said, he hit us on the PA system. Yeah. He's like, put your guns down. You know, y'all aren't in trouble.
We were already unloading the gun, putting it down when he was pulling in, just to be respectful.
Yeah, but he didn't know what we were doing.
Right.
So immediately we both set our guns down, and we're like 75 yards apart from each other.
Yeah.
Set our guns down, just turned around, and we just kind of held our hands up.
Yeah, and started walking.
Yeah, and I didn't know what to do. Like, I've never had that situation happen. I don't know if I'm supposed to walk to this guy.
Yeah.
I don't know what's going on. So I just kind of take like a couple steps towards him, and he opens the door to his car, and I'm like, are we good to come to you? And he's like, yeah, come on. So we walk up, and he's like, what's going on, guys? Like, we hear a lot of shooting, and we've had some calls from some of the neighbors, which to me was a red flag immediately because we're hunting on the least populated side of the highway.
There's only one house there.
Yeah. The place we normally hunt is next to a ton of houses, and I've hunted there for years and never had the cops show up.
Ever. Yeah.
And this place just so happens that a bunch of people called in across from the highway from us. I don't really think so,
No, I mean, we all knew what happened.
Yeah.
Yeah, and but, and granted, from where we're at, we're a long ways away from the road, but there's no trees. So if they're looking over, they can still hear the gunshots even when they're driving past. So they could have been on the road and been like, hey, these guys are shooting over here. Go check on them and make sure, but they're not going to stop kind of a deal.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. But anyway, we get up to him and he gets out and you could tell like this guy probably didn't hunt. Just like immediately looking at him, you could kind of get the vibe. And
I mean, he immediately just started asking us like, what are y'all hunting for? Y'all hunting? What y'all doing? Like he was interested in it. He was almost kind of like excited to talk to us.
Definitely.
Oh yeah.
And we actually, we got all this on video. So we're going to post a video and show all that. But, he starts talking to us and like Christian said, he's almost excited, but he's also trying to figure out what's going on. You know, they get these complaints and being in the area we're in, there is a lot of shootings and stuff. So of course he's kind of concerned at first, but when you hear the amount of shooting we're doing, it's pretty obvious that we were dove hunting.
Right.
And he explained to us, you know, he's like, our sergeant, when we got the calls, they kind of pinpointed where all the shooting was at. And he immediately said, I bet there's people over there dove hunting. And so sure enough, he calls up his sergeant comes and nothing came out of it. They just gave us a warning and told us that because it was in the city limits, we couldn't hunt there, which right. Christian and I kind of were like, I don't think that's the case. Like pretty sure, you know, it's over 10 acres. I'm pretty sure we're well within our rights to hunt it. But we're not going to cause a big scene. It was already too late in the day to try to argue with them. And there's no sense in arguing with them. You know, just comply, do what you need to do, and then go and do the research to back up what you're thinking.
Yeah, and if you do go do the research, don't ever walk in and go, hey, so you told me I couldn't hunt this, and here's where it says I can. Go in and ask questions. Be like, hey, look, I was reading through everything. I saw in one of your ordinances there's an exclusion. Yep. Can you explain this exclusion to me and not say, hey, I read this, and this is exactly what it means, because everybody interprets something different.
Yeah, the second you're off guard, then somebody's going to take it the wrong way.
Yeah, and then you lose permission. I mean, it doesn't matter whether it's legal or not. They're going to harass you while they're out there. And they have every right to, because all you're doing is being a pain to them.
Yeah.
And just work with them and ask questions. Don't have extra sarcasm with them, even though you might be frustrated. Watch what you do and watch what you say. And you can get a lot further with people than if you just say, well, I know I'm supposed to be hunting here, or I'm allowed to be hunting here, and this is what we've got, and so screw you. You're not going to get anywhere with that.
Yeah, definitely not. And they were extremely easy to deal with, extremely pleasant to deal with. You know, we just cooperated with what they asked. And then actually I ended up calling the sergeant later and talking with him. And he's supposed to get a hold of us about trying to get us some access to duck hunt. So it's kind of cool. Like that shows you the kind of people they were. Although we had to leave that day, we think we'll be able to hunt it again. We're going to work all that out going forward. But it ended up being an okay experience. You know, a lot of people think cops involved, it's going to be terrible. It was pleasant, especially from things that I've heard with this specific police department too.
Yeah. I mean, if you do what they ask you to, usually you're not going to have an issue at all.
Yeah.
I mean, it's the ones that argue that give them a bad rep. Yeah. And 90% of all the police encounters you have are pleasant encounters. Yeah, they might write you a ticket and you might be pissed off, but
yeah, don't do something stupid.
Yeah, don't do something illegal that you know that's illegal, like speeding or running a stop sign or something like that. Like, yeah, you're going to get a ticket for it. Don't be mad when it happens.
Yeah.
You know the repercussions. It's all right.
Yeah. But it ended up being okay. Killed a bunch of birds. Well, two of y'all killed a bunch of birds. One of us didn't.
And a pigeon.
Yeah, Bo's a pigeon slayer.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, that's the second pigeon. Yeah, first day out, I shot a solid white pigeon.
Yeah.
So that was cool.
Smacked him down. But so far, I would say the dove season had been pretty good. It's still ongoing, but we're about to shift gears into duck season.
Mm-hmm.
We got early teal starting on Saturday.
Yep.
And I know Christian and I are probably going to... We've been kind of scouting, but not scouting heavily. I think we're going to go hit the lake sometime this week and look at some spots and get prepared for that. Seen a decent bit of birds, honestly. Way more than I seen last year this time of year.
I mean, granted, it is 60, what, 60 degrees in the morning?
Yeah, the
so it's already nice. Yeah, it's not 110 degrees when you wake up, so yeah. it's already pushed a few down.
Yeah, I'm used to early teal season. I'm wearing like camo swim trunks,
yeah,
and Crocs.
And Crocs.
I'm not even just lying. Waiting. Just getting bit by mosquitoes and sweating.
Yeah,
that's what I'm used to. And this year, I might even be able to put on some waders.
Yeah.
Who knows?
Yeah, or a hoodie, or at least just a pullover. Have something that covers your face so you don't feel like you're suffocating.
Yeah, mm-hmm. we're actually gonna have pleasant weather. It looks like the birds are gonna be here. Hopefully, we'll find out on Saturday.
Yeah,
and then going forward after that, we kind of got a pretty good deal for us. We got thrown into a deer lease kind of last minute.
Mm-hmm.
Very cool deal. So we're going to start putting out some content with that. Not that we don't deer hunt to begin with, but we do have a deer lease now. And we can hunt everything on it, including ducks. And it has some pretty juicy looking,
pretty ducky spots.
Yeah. And I think, what is it, like 30, 45 minutes north, there's a lake up there that my brother-in-law, who's a avid duck hunter, said that's one of the best hunts he's ever been on. And he highly recommends going. So
yeah.
We're going to already be up there. Might as well just
give it a try.
Pop over there one day and see what it does.
Yeah, I'm excited. I mean, up there it seems like there's just less pressure, I would say, for duck hunting.
Definitely.
But maybe not less pressure, but more spread out.
Yeah, I mean,
because you have vast, just flat land, and where we're going to be, I guess, is more like kind of a canyon area.
Yeah, the population is not near as dense up there.
Right. Yeah, and over here we just get... We get birds that have been shot at 50 times, so getting them to decoy is kind of like a mastercraft.
But it's going to be totally different for us going up there. The terrain's going to be totally different. The water sources are going to be totally different. But I think there's going to be a lot of birds. I've hunted areas close to there, and there's always tons of birds, even some geese.
Yep.
So I think it's going to be kind of – it could be a really good deal for us, honestly.
Well, I found out today that just south of where the deer lease is – the owner of that deer lease has property that's it's like tilled wheat fields and things like that, and he actually guides goose and crane hunts off of it. So there's a very high possibility that with us being up higher and them dropping in, we may get some geese that are roosting on some ponds, or we may even get some Passover shots that that can come from it too. We might catch a couple sandhills too. So It should be pretty good, honestly.
Yeah. No, very excited. I mean, we're excited for the deer hunting, but ultimately I'm way more into ducks. So
yeah,
I'm going to deer hunt, clearly, but I think we're all pretty pumped up. Especially there's some tanks on the place that got us all like pretty excited. We're going to put out some cameras, see what we get coming in when it does get colder and migration actually starts up a little better for the bigger ducks. Yeah, we're about to have a lot of content coming in, a lot of stuff to talk about.
Just for reference, we've got a 28-foot gooseneck and a 25-foot gooseneck, and then another probably 10 to 12-foot trailer that we're taking up there, all completely loaded down with feeders and blinds and ATVs and
big duck blind
and all sorts of stuff. So we're going to have more than enough content coming, honestly.
Gonna be pretty awesome. We've been kind of recording some of the stuff, the lead up to getting the blinds set up and stuff. Like I said, it was very last minute, so we're just throwing stuff together,
scrambling.
Yeah, the best we can, and we're trying to record what we can and get together everything we can for y'all. But definitely not gonna be any shortage of it coming forward. As far as that goes, again, dove season's been pretty good. We're very excited for what's to come with ducks, deer. Turkeys,
everything.
I mean, yeah,
this
whatever moves. Yeah. I mean, as long as it's legal to kill, we're gonna kill it. So
this place has opened up a lot of opportunities for us, just for general hunting. We have tons of access outside of it, but having it all in one spot like we're going to have is going to be pretty awesome.
Yeah, with the amount of acreage it is.
Yeah,
yeah, and it's far enough away to where everybody's going to be together too.
Yeah,
so we'll kind of have everybody there. This place I can bring the dogs to, so we'll be able to get some dogs working birds, hopefully, and be able to kind of go from there.
Yeah. Yeah, it's going to be pretty awesome. Very excited. But as far as that goes, I think we're kind of getting to the end of this one. I mean,
mm-hmm.
we've talked a lot of stuff. We kind of give y'all a little teaser as to what's coming up. And we're still going to bring Arrowhead content too. We're not just straying straight to hunting. We've been kind of talking with somebody that we're planning to maybe get on next. Hopefully we do, and I think y'all really enjoy it if we can get it lined up for this person to be next. If not, we'll probably bring, if the next episode is not this person, we're probably going to bring another hunting related episode and then go into an episode with this person. Not going to spill anything.
Right.
The only thing I'll say is some of their work may be visible
right
in this shot. We'll say that.
You might be able to see it somewhere, yeah. But
it's going to be a really cool episode. I'm very excited for that. But that being said, I'm going to let kind of Christian kind of close this out a little bit.
Yeah. Appreciate y'all listening. Appreciate y'all watching. Like I said, if you're watching on YouTube, like, comment, subscribe. TikTok, follow us on there. Instagram, follow us on there. And Facebook group, Native Ways Podcast, on all of them. And just make sure you keep living your hobby.
Yeah. Hey, and one more thing. Two more things. If y'all don't mind, share our stuff if you can. Christian's already said to like, follow, and all that stuff. But we want to grow it. If y'all can share it, the more people we can reach, the better. We're trying to promote some really cool stuff, I think, and bring light to a lot of businesses too, like Bo's. So yeah. One more time, Bo, do you want to shout y'all one more time?
Yeah, if y'all are looking for a hunting dog, even just a family dog, we've got Wild Games Labradors. We don't pump out a whole lot of litters. There's usually a little bit of a weight for them, but that's just because we don't want to have a puppy mill and breed all these dogs and have a bunch of puppies that we can't do anything with.
Yeah.
But we want them to go to good people. We have everything for them. And I think that you'll get to see some of that, hopefully in some videos. We'll go into more detail in another podcast with my dad on here, cause yeah. He can give you a lot more information, but yeah, I appreciate y'all, having me on, and look forward to getting back on here pretty soon.
Yeah, definitely.
Thanks. Yes, sir.
Yeah, be looking forward to that. It's going to be a the great motto. Episode when we do get that lined up. All right, guys. We'll see y'all later. See y'all
then. Bo will probably be on a good bit. But yeah, Christian, you want to hit him with it?
Hit him with what?
You know.
The motto? Yeah, I said it.
All right. We'll see y'all later.